Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. This is the JRPG Report. My name is James Fisher. You're listening to episode 132nd. As of today, it is October the 22nd, and that means we are just five days away from the Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 4. I'm a little excited, and I'll tell you why in just a few moments. We don't have a ton of things to talk about today, so we're going to kind of spend a few moments on Cold Steel 4, of course. Got a few news stories that have popped up in the past week, and a funny story or two before our final story and kind of a rant of the day. But let's start there at the beginning. As I mentioned, just five more days. Next Tuesday, the world will finally get the end of Saga, Trails of Cold Steel 4. It's been an epic series in the making. I believe 6 years between the when the first Cold Steel came out and this one. And if you go back to Trails in the Sky and the Crawlspell series, this series has been going on for about 15 years, give or take. So to finally reach the end of one story, or at least that's the idea, right? That is a long time in the making, and I cannot wait to get my grubby little hands on it. And it does appear, contrary to last week's report, that at least myself and other people who have ordered the collector's edition, we may be getting it on time. So I got another email. Let's see, what was this? Yesterday, actually. Glad they decided to send it yesterday and not tomorrow. And it says, "Hello, future heroes. This is from NIS America. We are excited to announce the delays affecting the NIS America online store." And then they put in parentheses, "U.S. store only. Pre-orders of Trails of Cold Steel 4 have been resolved, and they'll begin shipping them out starting this Friday." So I guess if you're a UPS driver or whomever is doling out your packages gets a little confused, you might even get this thing a bit early if they're shipping it out on Friday. They say, "Of course, thank you for your patience, understanding, blah, blah, blah. If you have any questions, reach out to us." Now, keep in mind that does say U.S. store only. Now, in the previous email, it stated the European copies were going to be affected and would not be shipping out until that first week of November. So it does appear that's still the case for our European friends who are getting the limited edition. I've not heard any delays as far as the standard edition being affected or not. Kind of kept my nose to the grindstone on this one. I've not seen anything. So I think, as it appears now, U.S., limited edition, you're fine. You should get it on Tuesday. Limited edition, Europe, you may be affected. Check your inbox, and I'm sure NAS will keep you updated. Hopefully, they're able to resolve that issue as well. A funny story, last Saturday, me and Jake recorded our Sunday special all about Cold Steel, and it's going to play this Sunday. And we had a particular... we probably ranted on for 10 minutes about what was the cause of this, what the solution was, how upset we were. So, oddly enough, I'm going to do some editing and just snip that out. You guys don't need to hear us rant about it any more than I did last week. As the problem has been solved, and very glad that it did. And that is the magic of editing, and kind of glad I didn't put it out last week. We looked a little silly in hindsight. But that is good news. I hope you guys are excited about it as well. I know there's a few of you who are kind of like, "Well, you know, I'll probably be getting it, but maybe I've not quite made it all the way through all the games." You really need to play at least all the Cold Steel games before you get into this one. Having played the first two Sky games, that has brought me a better understanding of the entire series. Our buddy Jordan has been, he's played all the Skies, he's going through Crossbell now, and he has waited. He still needs to play 3 before, so he'll have his copy of 4, I think, before he's even done with perhaps Crossbell and even getting into part 3. But that is certainly the order that you'd like to do it if you have that ability to do so. But yeah, super, super excited for all this happening. I am deeply invested in this series, and I know a bunch of you guys are too. So, you know, maybe pop a little image there on the Facebook page on Tuesday when you get your copy of it, and, you know, maybe you throw your smiling face on there. And if you are curious as this game is going to look and feel, I'll be live streaming it that night as soon as I get it. So you can check it out if you would like over on our JRPG Report YouTube channel. As of right now, I'm still streaming Genshin Impact every night. I couldn't do but just a little bit last night as the servers were down for some maintenance. First time they've had to do that. And of course, they couldn't do it in the 20 hours of the day that I wouldn't be playing it. It was somewhere in that 4-hour window that I would be playing, but such is life. That is the way that things go. So that's what we kind of wanted to open with today, is we're getting hyped up for next week. Next Thursday podcast, I will give you my initial impressions. I can't really anticipate anything but gleaming reviews. I was quite worried with the delay that I wouldn't even have it by the time next week's podcast comes out, but it does seem like that is going to be the case, and I'll be able to give you at least initial feedback on that. But let's get to some other news stories that happened in this past week of JRPG goodness. We got some new information from Nippon Ichi all about Disgaea 6, the Defiance of Destiny, in the form of some new information, and then I think close to 100 new screenshots. I've still got to download and go through all of those. I'd like to make a little slideshow for you guys, but that's going to take a little bit of work to put all that together. It's quite a few. One of the new features that they're spouting off is what's called an auto battle function. And typically when you say the words auto battle, that has quite a negative connotation to it. You kind of think of some mobile trash type games, but this one sounds a little bit different. And of course, it's not the only thing that it's going to have to offer. Returning features include the Dark Assembly and the seemingly endless item worlds. So this isn't the typical run-of-the-mill auto function. They say players will be able to assign characters attacks and other skills characters to use in auto battle. This means that you won't need to worry about your party potentially failing missions when you are off. You're busy yourself. So this does sound like it's a little bit. And of course, there is also now a 2x speed mode. So that should speed things up quite a bit. Another feature is the play again function. This will allow players to clear the same selected stage multiple times in a row. Of course, these both these features will come in handy when you're trying to grind to that 99 million level cap. That is, it's kind of hard to read and comprehend in full. They said there's two new classes, the Psychic and Armored Valkyrie. The Psychic is adept at using cane and gun type weapons, while the Armored Valkyrie is great at dealing with large groups of enemies. Disgaea 6 Defiance of Destiny will release for the PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch in Japan on January 28th, 2021, and summer 2021 in the West. There is still, with my YouTube videos that I put up, there is a big, big split in the fan base over this game. I would say it's at least 75% negative versus 25% positive in reaction to the 3D models for the characters. But there's a bunch of other issues that people have brought up. Like I said, I've not played this series, so I don't really understand when people talk specifics about this one. So I can't really comment on that, but there is some very dedicated fans with some very elaborately and well-defined problems that they see with this game. One of the first ones that people kind of bring up is that this is a financially challenged company, and it kind of looks like this one was on some sort of shoestring budget. That is something that's been brought up more than a couple of times. Fans are worried this is going to be the last Disgaea game that they see. Now, if this one sells well, then maybe that is a remedy for it. but you just don't know. And, you know, you'd like to think they have time to fix some of these problems, but in reality, this thing comes out in 3 months in Japan. That's not a lot of time, and they certainly can't go back to the drawing board unless they decide to completely scrap it altogether. There were some new characters that were announced as well. The first one is called Magaline. No, that's how you'd say her name. A grand sorcerer and headmaster of the Magic Academy. She uses a legendary magic wand and has made her name for herself as the magical girl, Pretty Magaline. There is also, oh gosh, how do you say this fellow's name? Cusendol? Cusendol. Apologize for that one. He is the king of the human world. As the richest man in the world, he believes anything is possible with the power of money, and he has the special ability to revive a fallen hero. There is the Magic Academy world. These are some of the various worlds that Zed will visit during the course of his adventure. And this Magic Academy world is a world out of an academy where young magicians train night and day. It is said that they have a super powerful weapon created by a legendary witch, which is somewhere in the world. And he will also visit the human world, who is, of course, governed by the money king himself, the name I can't pronounce. in addition to auto battle, there is also a new machine edit feature, which allows players to give characters detailed instructions such as which attacks to use on which enemy. Sounds like kind of a bit like the Gambit system from Final Fantasy XII. Maybe not quite as detailed as that was. Man, the more I dived into that system, the more I really cared for it. It made a lot of sense. Never understood why we didn't get something else with that system. Lots of other details going on with this one. And like I said, tons of images. I have shared the story both on Twitter and on Facebook if you really want to dive into it, if you're super interested. And maybe here this afternoon, I will try to start piecing together and downloading all those images. It's going to take a while, but certainly I think it's something to look forward to. Don't forget, if you haven't already, head over to Facebook and give us a like, JRPG Report. You can follow us on Twitter. We also not only tweet all the stories we talk about, but we do some fun stuff from different places, and it's an interesting place to gain a lot of information quickly. Right now on both those sites, I'm counting down to the release of Cold Steel 4 with various all the HD wallpapers that they released for the game. And I kind of broken them up, so like the first day I said, like, who's your favorite character from the new Class 7? Yesterday it was, who's your favorite male character from the old Class 7? Today was a favorite female character from the old Class 7. There was like, how many wallpapers? I think there was over 50 total. So I'll probably break it down into like, Ouroboros will probably have one, you know, just bad people, bad guys, other main good guy characters. You know, there's going to have to kind of figure out what other designations to kind of make up, and still not. There's a couple of them that are potential spoilers, so I got to be kind of careful at the same time. That's just the way it goes with these games. So yeah, give us a subscription on YouTube. That would be super awesome. I'm closing in on 500 subs. Got to get to that magical 1,000 point in order to get monetization reach, which would be really cool. I'm not expecting to get rich off of that by any stretch, but it would certainly be cool to get some passive income from, you know, not only the podcast, but also YouTube as well. That always keeps the wife happy when you're taking time away from household chores and family time to do a pastime. So it helps when there's a few bucks coming back in the account. But we also are on Patreon. You can support all of our endeavors over there, or you can just do it directly through Anchor. There's links to all this at the bottom of the page. Three things I want to direct your attention to, then you can find these trailers over on our YouTube channel. There was a new gameplay trailer for the new, I'm just going to say it's the new Sekiro title. That's a mobile game that's coming out and not too long. It revolves around the Great Imperial Combat Review Black. I won't try to say the, because I'd just be butchering the Japanese name for it. This is along the lines of Sekiro Wars. It's in that universe, but this is a new trailer for the mobile title, and it talks all about the new gameplay. It shows a lot of good stuff. So if you're interested in it, this one is coming out for mobile devices in Japan sometime this year. No word yet if it's coming over here to the West or not. But if you are a Sekiro fan, you might want to definitely check that out. There is a new game called Seven Knights Time Wanderer, and this is by Netmarble. If you've heard me say Netmarble before, they're also making the Ni No Kuni mobile game. Now, this is based off of the Seven Knights mobile game. However, this Time Wanderer title is being developed for the Switch, and it will launch on November 5th on the eShop. There's a new trailer for it. It introduces the game, story, characters, battle, and side features. It's pretty lengthy, about 6 minutes long. So if you have played Seven Knights and enjoyed it, you might want to check this version out. I don't know the difference between the titles, but obviously this one is being specifically as a spinoff and being developed for the Switch. So hopefully it's got some enhanced graphics and capabilities. And hopefully it's not a typical mobile game, that it actually has some quality to it. It does appear that way, but I can't tell you for certain until before checking it out myself. I wanted to be too much longer as it comes on the eShop on November 5th. We got another trailer for Yakuza Like a Dragon. This one is called Next Generation of a Yakuza. This one focuses on the Xbox Series version of the game, and it features near instant load times, cutting edge next gen crustacean AI. There's a aggressive lobster in this one, and so much more. This game is just zany. They say you can rise up from underdog to dragon in a dynamic RPG combat system. Of course, this one is coming to all platforms except PlayStation 5. That would be Xbox Series, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC via Steam, and even the Microsoft Store on November 10th in the West. PlayStation 5 version will be due out on March the 2nd of next year. Game looks incredibly zany. I can't wait to finally check this one out. When I do, it's going to be a while before that happens. I got a lot of games taking up my queue for certain, and that's not even, you know, talking about potential backlog games. But yeah, don't wait too much longer for that really crazy looking Yakuza title to finally make it over here to the West. Have a very interesting story for you guys from our old friends over at Konami. If you recall, we talked about this a little bit when Eidos Chronicles was getting all of its Kickstarter backing. There was a few people that said, oh man, I wonder if when Konami gets a hold of this, if somehow they say, oh yeah, we probably should start making Suikoden 6 by now. And that's not what I'm here to announce. That would have been the lead, I'm sure. They did file trademarks for three games, and the one that caught my attention is called Gensu Tsugaiden. It is a two-part visual novel spin-off of the Suikoden RPG series. These came out for PlayStation in September 2000 in Japan, and the second, the Volume 2, was March 2001. The series never launched outside of Japan. It's interesting, right? I don't know if it means anything necessarily, but it could. It absolutely could mean something. I dare say this would be some sort of remake of these two, and I'm not even sure what they necessarily cover, but we'll just have to wait and see. I think it was a curious move by Konami. They have to know, after they saw the enormous amount of crowd funding for Eowyn Chronicle, that there is still quite a market for these games. And what else is Konami really doing that's bringing them a ton of cash right now? I think they'd be pretty smart to release anything, even if it was just kind of, you know, a remake of these older ones. I think it'd do well. Now, if that even happens, there's certainly no guarantee that we get it over here in the West. So if we're a long, long ways away from anything like that. But I just thought it was an interesting move, and I definitely will keep you guys updated if I see anything that looks like we may actually get that. The first patch for Final Fantasy VII Remake has released. Is that correct? Yeah, it came out 2 days ago on October the 20th. There were really no details about it. The only thing that really is mentioned that these were to fix bugs, which seems odd for a game that came out back in April, that they're just now releasing something to fix the bugs. I still haven't seen anything that says specifically what bugs were even addressed. I really didn't notice a whole lot. I'm sure there were some things in there that people who play the game a little bit more or, you know, intentionally tried to break it could have found. It's a small download. It's only 200 megabytes, so that's not a ton of information. But it's cool that they're still supporting it. I don't think we're going to get any type of additional content for it. Of course, they, you know, like back in August, they finally made like the Butterfinger free DLC for everybody. It's gone on sale a couple times, but in terms of new content, I don't think we're going to get anything there. Remember, it's still up as a PlayStation 4 exclusive until April 2021. So we'll probably hear something about what versions are coming out. If it's just Xbox or if there's going to be a PlayStation 5 version, I'd have to imagine so. Is it going to be free upgrade? I kind of doubt it. I'll be honest, I don't think it's going to qualify for that. But once I get that info, we will pass it along to you guys. That seems like a pretty good time for a brief timeout. As I mentioned, it's a shorter one today. Just don't have a ton of things to talk about. But we'll be back on the other side of our anchor ad with part two of episode 137. All right, everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 137 of the JRPG Report. Again, my name is James Fisher, and thank you for tuning in this week and every week to your weekly JRPG news podcast. I have a few things to talk about, and before we rant it up at the end of the podcast, got some Final Fantasy product news. So if you are in Europe, the Middle East, Australia, or New Zealand, you can get your hands on a physical copy for the Switch of Final Fantasy VII, the original, and Final Fantasy VIII Remastered. You can pre-order those. It will come out on December the 4th. They're going to go for $39.99, and that is in pounds. It's in euros. I'm sorry, that is in euros. There is also a PlayStation 4 version of Final Fantasy VIII Remastered physical, and that's going to go for $19.99 in euros. These were both first released back in Southeast Asia in 2019. You can get them digitally everywhere, but these physical copies are only available through the Square Enix store. I did a quick search for them just to see if there was anything on the U.S. store for either one of these titles, and there is not. So obviously these things are made for Europe and Australia and New Zealand, so they would be English, maybe, you know, text in them. But of course, there wasn't voice acting in there anyway, so that you wouldn't need to have English voiceovers. So you can order it that way if you would like. But there's nothing on there as far as physical goes. But yeah, you can just start December 4th. You can get those if you'd wish. There is also, this is apparently coming In winter of 2020, Asia will get a physical copy for the Switch of Final Fantasy IX. That announcement was posted on its Facebook page and then quickly pulled. So somebody must have messed that one up. This is available in Asia, but there has English, French, German, Italian, and Spanish language options. So anybody could get their hands on it. I think the digital version, I think it's $20 on the eShop. So this would be probably priced around that, maybe a little bit more, not quite certain. But I love the cover for it because it's not the original PlayStation cover, but they've taken the Switch thing. Instead of it being vertical, they kind of laid it on its side, long way horizontal. They have the logo, and then it has the 8 character profiles on the case. I don't know if I've seen a Switch case do that before, but I really like the idea. It really makes it distinctive in its appearance, and I would love to get my hands on that. In fact, if this is true, I'll wait and see if anything else pops up about that. I've nearly pulled the trigger several times on getting this digitally for the Switch, and I just haven't done it. And to be honest, I don't know why. Maybe subconsciously I knew I was trying to hold off for a physical version of it instead, as long as the price isn't too steep, of course. Final Fantasy XIV has a free login campaign that is now underway. Returners will be able to enjoy up to 96 hours or 4 days of free game time up and until November 23rd of 2020. However, this campaign is strictly limited to those who fall under the returner condition. Players who are currently paying for a subscription are not eligible for the promotion. Be eligible, you must meet these requirements. You must have purchased and registered to your Mog Station account. All registered service accounts must be inactive during this campaign period, and registered service accounts must also have been inactive for at least 30 days. So, still pretty cool they're giving away. I got a problem with paying a price for a game and then paying every month. So like if this game was free and then I paid for it every month, I would be a little bit more open to the idea of it. I don't have the time for an MMO, so that doesn't really matter too much. But, if you guys have played this before and you want to check it back out and see how it stands right now, you can do that for free for up to 4 days now until November the 23rd. Final Fantasy 14 is available right now for PS4 and PC, and there is a PlayStation 5 playable version coming with the system, I'm assuming at launch for that one. As of today, November the 22nd, if you are living over in our European countries there, our friends over there, you can now play Idola Phantasy Star Saga. It was a little bit delayed over there, but it is supposed to be live for you guys. It is a more traditional turn-based RPG. Players can build up to 2 teams of characters with a gacha system involved, of course. It first appeared back in Japan of November 2018. Over here in North America, we got it in September. But the European launch was a bit behind. They had originally said within a month, and they kind of got it. It is available on iOS and Android devices. So if you've been waiting for that one, you can now download it freely. Phantasy Star Online 2 is getting a special crossover event with both Kirito and Asuna from Sword Art Online. You've seen these several times in the past, where different avatars, weapon camos, lobby actions, and more from these series are then implemented into Phantasy Star Online 2. We saw Persona show up there and various other ones have been kind of all over the place for different things. You can get that, I believe, what is that right now? No, it's going to be in December that they are going to do that. One quick, quick fun note. I shared this on both of our pages, but there are some super cute Dragon Quest slime gloves merchandise coming out soon in Japan. It's one of these things like I kind of assumed was always there, but they are going to be released in December 2020 for about 2,000 yen plus tax. They are blue with the little slime smile on them. And then there are heel slime gloves that kind of when you turn them upside down, they're blue on the first part, but then they have yellow fingers that kind of look like the tentacles. they are ridiculous. And there are even, of course, some smartphone gloves, because you've got to still be able to use your phone at any point in time. That is just the world that we live in. There's a desktop calendar that's coming out that looks pretty cool as well. Of course, this is all for Japan. You know, if you know Japanese, you can order yourself a calendar. Otherwise, it might be a little hard to understand. Those are coming out in December. Before then will be Thanksgiving. And here's my kudos announcement of the day. You never should have done it in the first place. Nobody should, but GameStop did announce that they will not be open on Thanksgiving this year, at least in the U.S. They haven't announced any Black Friday plans. This year is, of course, you know, we're not playing by any of the normal rules, and Black Friday should certainly not be something that should be normal. Hopefully that'll be a mostly online event to discourage giant crowds of angry people trying to snatch up TVs that they can't afford anyway. But Black Friday is one thing. When they started dipping into being open later on Thanksgiving Day and taking people away from their families to go shop seemed a little odd. If you want to get up at 4 a.m. the next day, that's on you. But don't be leaving Thanksgiving dinner early so you can, you know, rush down the road to get a good deal on something. That seemed really kind of odd just in order to beat Black Friday. So at least one company has stepped up and said, nah, we're not doing that at least this year. In my opinion, it is all about the four F's on Thanksgiving: food, family, friends, and football. And that's all it should be about. And of course, some people, you know, maybe you're living away from family and friends, you can't really do that. That is, at least you won't have to go into work that night at GameStop, or maybe one of these other places will follow suit. So kudos to them, and hopefully everybody will follow suit on that one. I think Walmart has already announced that they're not doing it either, but I may be wrong on that one. And so I got one final rant to kind of get into, and we'll wrap up this episode 137. First, let me speak on the news article that is triggering what I'm going to say shortly. Publisher Koei Tecmo and Gust will not release a physical copy edition of Atelier Ryza 2, Lost Legends and the Secret Fairy for PlayStation 5 in Japan. The companies announced various reasons were cited for the cancellation. Of course, if you get the PlayStation 4 version, you can then upgrade to the PS5 version via the PlayStation Store. As previously announced, those who purchase will be upgraded at no additional cost. That's great. We already know that there's been a lot of these things that have come out that if you get the PlayStation 4 version, you can upgrade to the digital version of the PlayStation 5. I think this is the first time I've heard there's not even going to be a physical PS5 version of it. Obviously, if you want a physical copy, you get the PS4 version and you still get it. But shots are fired in the physical versus digital war. The opening rounds were volleyed years ago. It got real serious with these announcements of these both Xbox Series S and PlayStation 5 digital versions, not even having a disc tray. And I get it. I understand. Obviously, the versions are cheaper, so there's a cost, money-saving aspect to it as well. And yeah, I can still get the PlayStation 4 version, which I'll be getting anyway, and then upgrading and play it on PlayStation 5 digitally. It's not the point. This is the beginning of the end of physical copies. And for collectors like myself and many others, it's kind of a sad first day. We knew the end was coming. We thought it was a couple years away. It's here. Like, this is at least, you know, a game that I am absolutely going to buy. I won't have a PlayStation 5 by that point. But if I did, and I'm now being told I can only buy that digitally, or I've got to go buy this old version and then upgrade it and still get it digitally, that's kind of sad. Like, I really thought we had a couple more years. Now, when I'm looking at least for this, you know, problem, I'm saying, well, I'm just going to be building up my PlayStation 4 collection. I don't need to have now this new PlayStation 5 version until there's games, you know, down the road. Let's say, you know, Final Fantasy 16 is not going to have a PlayStation 4 version. You know, we're going to get to that point. But right here, right now, it's already affecting us. And I've said it before, I do not think your next Xbox or PlayStation 6 is even going to have a disc drive. It'll be an external attachments like you see for, you know, PCs. You can add on a reader for $30 or whatever. It'll be a little more expensive if you want to do that, to be able to play your, you know, Blu-rays or whatever we're at that point. Your hard drives are going to have to be absolutely massive by that point in order to hold all these games. They already need to be. That's always been one thing that I did not understand, is how we don't have, you know, a 4 terabyte hard drive included with these new systems. You're going to fill up your hard drive in no time, or need an external one pretty immediately. But I just think, you know, like I said, as a collector, I enjoy my collections of games. I always have. It's something I can look back at my childhood and the Nintendo games that I grew up with some very strong memories attached to those games. And to think in just a few years it's going to be a thing of the past is a little sad to me. But there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. I do see a world that there is still physical games, and I think it's going to lie strictly in the limited edition realm. Obviously, you've got, you know, companies like Limited Run who make physical copies. That might still be a thing. But, you know, like we said, once we get to these next systems of not even having a tray, well, it's just gone. We might see, you know, if you want to pay $80 for a limited edition physical copy, you might still be able to get it. But if they eliminate the tray altogether, then it's just gone. But it is what it is, and I had to kind of get that rant out of me. I hated that I had to report that, but that is the way the news goes sometimes. All right, guys, we are just a few days away from Cold Steel 4, so don't forget to check out our countdowns up until then. Check out our Sunday special. Me and Jake talk all about The Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel. The first half is pretty appropriate for everybody. The second half is spoiler-filled. So if you want to check out the first half, you know, listen to the anchor ad. That's always fun, too. And then click off. I completely understand, but a lot of fun talking with him. We chatted for quite a while. I'm not sure what the final tally is going to be on that. I still got to edit it, of course, but a lot of fun talking with him, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you guys have enjoyed this podcast. We're going to check out right now, and we will be back next week, and I'll let you know how much fun Cold Steel 4 is. But until then, get back out there and level up.